This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
A week ago, I woke up really early in the morning. And anyway, the words of an old song were going through my head as I woke up. And how many may remember this, but the refrain of this song was trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And I know that I think I sing it in my mind, trust and obey, for there's no other way to believe in Jesus is to trust and obey. But I think that the literal words are to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And he started to speak to me about all that means. To believe in Jesus is to trust and obey. It's first of all, it's he that has come into our lives. He's the one that has begun the work. He's the one that will continue the work. And he's the one who will complete the work. You can't do it. And so I want to talk this morning about obedience, because God was just talking to me about obedience. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's always looked for. That's what God actually demands. If you think about as a Christian, you know, we're praying our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, he's demanding obedience. And we're living in a planet that's in total rebellion against God. Total rebellion. Christ became the beachhead of heaven. When he came to earth, he said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's because he was the beachhead of heaven. And so all the armies of heaven could come down on earth because a beachhead was established in Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was obedient to all that the Father commanded him to do. His whole life was a life of obedience. I only do the things that my Father shows me. I only speak the words that my Father tells me to do. Of myself, he said, I can do nothing. So he identified with every single one of us in our helplessness and our weakness. But he, in his obedience, he became the beachhead of heaven on earth. Now, when we are born again and we accept Jesus Christ as what? Lord and Saviour. What did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? This same Jesus whom you killed, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Lord means he is Lord. What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If he's a Lord, then all of what he spoke to us are not suggestions. They are commandments. Every single one of them are commandments, because he wants every single one of us to be a beachhead of heaven on earth so that his kingdom can come, his will can be done. You know, I've said it often. Beth said I said it too much. You know, how awesome is this place? You are none other than the house of God, and you are the gateway of heaven. We are. Each one of us is. But I wonder how many blockages are in there that heaven can't come down on earth, because Jesus has done it all. He has broken every power of darkness. He has defeated the devil. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord, and he's seated at the right hand of God and waiting. Who's he waiting for? Who is he waiting for? Waiting until all his enemies are made his what? Footstool. when Jesus died, rose again. He appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. He appeared to the disciples for 40 days, teaching them, giving them commandments about the kingdom of God and what they were to do. And at the end, he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, commanding them to do all the things that I have taught you. You then teach and command those as well." Isn't it clear what he's done for us? That he has won the victory, and it's obedience that brings about the kingdom of God. It's obedience that makes us that beachhead in your home, in your family. I don't care what your circumstance or your situation is. I want to tell you that God is big enough. He is, in fact, more than enough. And it makes no difference to him to save by few or by many. It makes no difference if you are powerless and totally weak. All he requires of you is and me is obedience, and he will bring heaven down on earth, because that's what he's commanded each one of us to do. There's something stirring here. There's an intensity. I want to wake up the mighty men in this place. I want to wake up the mighty women in this place. You know, sometimes you could be so under the condemnation and oppression and the poor me of the devil. I can't do anything. Well, that's true. You never could. It was never about you. Sometimes it's almost like God's got to provoke and push to snap us out of that self-pity and that I don't know what kind of a spirit it is, but it binds the church. Poor me, I can't do it. You know, God's commanding us. Every command of God, every word of God, every command, every word, same thing, has the power in it that we can do it. God doesn't give us a command that we can't do, because with every command of God comes the power to do it. Peter said, "This Jesus whom you crucified," and it's interesting, he said, "This Jesus," that's just a name. This Jesus, it means God saves. He said, "This same Jesus," there are many Jesuses around then, "whom you crucified, God has made both Lord," in other words, every word he says, it's a command, "and Christ, the anointed one." So you see, in obedience, what does Peter say? You know, when Peter was challenged not to speak about Jesus anymore, all this pressure came upon him. "Who are you? You're a nobody. You're not even educated." And he says to a whole Jewish nation and their leadership, "I've got to obey God rather than man." And refuse to be intimidated, refuse to back down and not declare that Jesus Christ is the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. I love that word, must be saved. They must be saved, and they must hear the revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's done. And I want that to burn in your heart and burn in my heart, so that we go out like firebrands to tell people that Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday and he will be forever. He never changes. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. That's my challenge in a nutshell today. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It's obedience that God is requiring of us. Father, as we open your word together, Lord, I pray, open our hearts. I pray that every stronghold of disobedience, rebellion, and stubbornness and iniquity would be broken in Jesus' name. That every proud thought, every vain imagination, every fear and every doubt and every unbelief, Lord, that would contradict what you declare over our lives would be exposed today and cast down, pulled down in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Lord, we want to hear today the words that you have spoken, your words that are purer than fine gold, your words that are alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray today, Lord, that you would search our hearts and minds, and Lord, even know the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, O God. Lord, that you might be glorified in and through our lives. For we, Lord, were created for your glory and for your honor and your praise. Lord, open our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. God demands, and I thought, I shouldn't say that. God demands obedience. I'm going to say it this way to pull down every lie. God demands, he is always and always will demand obedience from every single one of us. And anybody who walks in disobedience, there is no excuse whatsoever. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, just quickly read a few scriptures. In Genesis, we know God creates everything. And then he creates Adam and Eve, and he puts them in a garden, the Garden of Eden, in which are two trees. One tree is called the Tree of Life, that whoever would eat of the fruit of that tree would live forever, never die. And the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God commanded one command to Adam, that he's passed on to his wife, that they could eat of all. There are other trees as well and lots of other fruit, but he specifically mentioned these two trees. One was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good. And the only command he gave them, that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One command on that. That's all he asked Adam and Eve. He didn't talk about loving me. He didn't talk about having faith in me. He didn't talk about trusting me. All of those things were summed up in the one word, obedience. Obedience. All of them come under that one word, trusting him. You know, that song, that trust and obey. There's no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And so what does they do? They take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, you know, what are they doing? The first thing they do is guilt. They find out they're naked. They try to hide themselves from the presence of God. Then they tried to cover everything up. Let's pretend I'm not as bad as I really am. Let's cover it all up. Let's try to pretend. Let's do all the things I could do to try to make up and impress and put on a good show and performance. And they're hiding in amongst the trees, and God comes looking for them. Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. Isn't that incredible? I heard your voice. I heard your voice. How many of you are afraid of the voice of God? You know, and maybe it's guilt, maybe it's shame. Maybe that's why we get afraid of hearing the voice of God. You know, I think in the last days there's a real warning about Christians heaping up teachers to ourselves, but the teachers that we heap up are the ones that we want to hear to. It talks about itching ears. We only like a certain thing. We only like to God. God, only speak this way. Don't speak that way. Speak this way. That's a scary thought. So they're afraid of God because they heard his voice. And he says, where are you? You know what? The Holy Spirit, God always speaks directly to our hearts. You know, we're talking about our first love and when we first got saved, I know one of the things that gripped my heart was that God knew everything I was thinking. Everything. And there was a fear that came with that. There was an awe that came with that. He knows everything. And, you know, I just believe it's got to so come back. Oh, we come into a meeting with the fear of God on me. Didn't we have that word? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of... How'd that go? Got to read it again, Tim. Find it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of... I have to wait for Tim to find it because I can't remember it.
Oh, you can read it. Okay. I can't say it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Yeah, that's it. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so that's what hit me. I'm in a meeting and I'm afraid. I'm trying to stop thinking because God's there. And he might tell one of those people there what I'm thinking. And that happened. That happened. There's a fear. You know, the Bible tells us about, you know, I'm seeking God for the gifts, but God's challenging me, convicting me. David, why do you want the gifts? What do you want them for? You know, I praise God for a man that said to me, I remember asked for prayer because I was going to be preaching at an MFI conference is a few years back. And I asked somebody, I said, can you pray for me? And he said, oh, okay, yeah, I will pray. And anyway, after the conference, I was challenged by this friend. He said, David, why did you ask me to pray for you? And I was sort of taken back. I thought, quickly think, well, I wanted people to hear what God was saying and blah, blah, blah. And he challenged me about, David, was your heart to find out what God wanted to speak to those people and find out where their hearts were and have the love and compassion of God for them? Or was it, David, about your performance, how well you're going to operate in your gift and how well you're going to appear to men to be operating in that gift? And it just... Well, it was that, you know, that word of God that's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, going and exposing the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. You know, those two words are incredibly important, thoughts and intents. One of them we get our word enthusiasm from. And literally, when you trace that back, it means to be inspired of a God. And sometimes we can be inspired by the God of this world. Do you know what Paul sums up in our generation at the end of the age? He sums up two groups of people in Ephesians. If you want to read through Ephesians, that we've been saved and brought out. And he said, and you who were once dead in trespasses and sins, when you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work, and here he sums it up, in the sons of disobedience. Now, can I tell you, it can be Christians, it could be unbelievers. Isn't that a scary thought? You're either going to be a son of obedience or a son of disobedience. This whole world is groaning. It is groaning and it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does the Bible say? These are the sons of God, the ones who what? Walk in the Spirit. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. He gives the Holy Spirit. So Adam, one man, one act of disobedience brought sin, shame, guilt, curse. Isn't that what happened? The curse that came on the face of the whole earth came because of one man. You can read this in Romans chapter 5. Because of one man's disobedience, the sin, death, came to all mankind. Why? Because we're all born of Adam. And we inherit that, not only just by inheritance, but by nature as well. Because the Bible says there is not one good, no, not one. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. I'm painting this picture deliberately as God paints it, because we need to know what a great salvation has been offered to us. Because we're in the time of the end when the Bible warns that there's going to be a drifting away. There's going to come a mixture in the church where people are going to start to think that you can hold two opinions, that you can hold two beliefs. Isn't that what the whole world's pushing? You can believe anything you like and believe everything you like, and you can mix it up together however you like, and it's all right. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It paints it very black and very white. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. They must be. And I want that intensity to burn. I want it to burn. I want it to burn up. All that which is dross, all that which is lies, it's got to be exposed. So Adam's act of disobedience brought sin and death to the whole world, to all mankind, and it cut off access to the tree of life. Totally cut off access to the tree of life was denied. They were kicked out of paradise and they could not access the tree of life. That's how important obedience is. Then Noah was a man, you know, what happened? Sin came to the whole world as it got to the point where the thinking of all mankind was only evil continually. Where did it start? Everybody did what they thought was right in their own mind, their own heart. And so they start that same course, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, just directed, do your own thing. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't be bossed around, fed up with all this guilt, shame. You just do what you want to do. And it got to the point where God said, it grieves me that I've made man. He says, I'm going to destroy man from off the earth. And that's why the flood. But there was one man, the Bible says, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Found grace. Why did he do it? Because he was a man of obedience. Everything that God told Noah, he obeyed. In the New Testament, we read in Hebrews 11, it was faith. By faith, he did what God told him. But what we read in the Old Testament was everything God told him to do, Noah obeyed. Build the ark. It took him 100 years. Anybody? 100 years to build this ark with all the mocking going on while he's doing it. And then he did specifically everything that God asked him to do. And so here's another man. Obedience is incredibly important. Then another figure, Bible, Abraham. He's called the father of faith. What? How was Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. When God told him to leave his home and go to a strange place, he obeyed. And that was his first step of obedience, leaving his home, leaving the place that he knew for a place that he didn't know. And sometimes that can be our walk in the Lord, can't it? We don't know where we're going. We don't know where he's going to lead us. Sometimes he doesn't tell us because he actually says, I want you to learn obedience. I want you to learn to live one day at a time. You know, half our problems, we're always storing up for the future. It could be money for security. It could be trying to work out how you're going to live for retirement and all that. And you know what God says? No, you're going to have to learn to live with, trust me, one day at a time. Reminds me of another song, One Day at a Time. Sweet Jesus. It's about that love of Jesus. So Abraham, by faith he obeyed. And then we read of his obedience to God. And then it comes to the final test in Abraham's life when God comes to him and after he's by faith and obedience, he's received a son when he's 100 years old and his wife's getting up to around that age as well. 100 years old, he gets a promise and his son Isaac. And then God comes to him and says, right, Abraham, take your son, your only son, and I want you to go on a 3-day journey to a mountain I will show you. And there I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham got up early in the morning in obedience to what God had commanded him to do. Took his son to the place, and he's up there. He's got his son's on the altar. He's got the knife raised to kill his son as a sacrifice, and God stops him from heaven. You know what God says? Now I know that whatever I ask you, you will do. Obedience. How important is obedience? And because of Abraham, God says, because of your obedience, all nations in the earth will be blessed. So far, it's been pretty bleak. There's been a curse through Adam, and we've all inherited it, and we see it work in the earth. But now in Abraham, in your seed, because you have done this and you haven't withheld your only son from me, he said, in blessing I will bless you. And in your seed, prophesying about Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Praise God for Abraham. And then the story of Moses. Exodus 19, you know the story. He's raised up as a deliverer, and he comes to his people Israel in Egypt in bondage under slavery, and he says, God has come to set you free. He's heard your cry, and he delivers them out. They have this amazing deliverance, the judgments of God falling, and the blessing of God as well when they leave. And then they go through the Red Sea, which is parted. We've heard all the story of the parting of the Red Sea. They get on the other side, and the Egyptians are pursuing them. They're full of fear again. And then God causes the waters to come and wipe out all of their enemies. So much joy going on. And then Exodus 19, God brings them all together as a nation, and he says, you've seen how I've brought you out of the house of bondage. I've carried you on my wings like an eagle carries its young, and I've brought you to myself. And he says, now, if you will obey my voice, I will make you a kingdom of priests. You know how many know about the teaching of being a king? Christ has made us kings and priests. Well, you know, what does a king have? A king has authority. A priest, we're priests of God. A priest has access, stands as a mediator. Well, isn't it obedience that must be required of a priest and a king? Do you know every king in the Bible, when the kings in Israel were raised up, every king was commanded that he had to get the book of the law and meditate in it. That he had to have it there. He had to read it day and night so that he would know what to do for all of Israel, because he was standing as God's representative. So he was commanded to read this book and know the word of God. Before we get to that one more, Deuteronomy, I want us to read this together. Deuteronomy chapter 30. So Moses is raised up and he said, if you will be a special people, you will be a special people to me, a kingdom of priests, if you obey my voice. So what happens? God then speaks to them, and now Moses goes up the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. He's given the law of God. God actually speaks to the whole nation. You know what the people said? He's too scary. That voice is scary. Just like Adam, scary. You go up and just tell us what he wants. That was the attitude. Just tell us what do you want. I've shared that about listening to somebody, you know, when Bev's trying to get my attention and share with me, you know, I've done that at times. What do you want? I don't want to hear a voice. I just say, tell me what you want so I can get you out of the way. It's often we do that with God. And so we don't want to hear his voice. You go up and get his commands and we'll do it. God knew they couldn't because they missed out on something. And so when it came to the point where they didn't know his voice and thought we can do it all we need is his commands, all we know is a list of, give me all the rules and regulations. You know what's really behind that is we want to live our own life as well. That's what's behind it. We want a two-way bet. We say, I'm still going to live my life. Just give me what you need and I'll fulfill that as well. God doesn't want that. He wants all of your heart, all of me. He said, well, who's ever heard the saying? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You know, I just feel this more and more. The church in our age has got to be challenged with this double-mindedness. We know all about God. We know how to serve him. We know how to worship him. We know how to pay tithes. We know how to preach the word. We know how to do all these things. But we've still got this other side where we're in control. And God said, that's what I want. You're not going to keep me happy by just fulfilling certain things, because he wants all of our heart, because that disobedience is at the root of every man outside of Christ. It's at the root and it brings a curse. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, let me read this. So they said they're going to do it. He brought them to the promised land. And what happened? They got afraid. They saw the giants and then they rebelled. They rebelled against the word of the Lord because there was no faith, no confidence. All they saw was fear. All they saw was doubt. All they saw was failure. And that's all they could see. And so God said, for 40 years because of that, you're going to wander in the wilderness. For 40 years, how many years are we going to have to wander in the wilderness? How many years am I going to wander in the wilderness? How many years are you going to wander in the wilderness? You know what wandering in the wilderness really implies? Because he said this is what you're going to learn from the wilderness. He said you're going to learn that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that is currently proceeding from the mouth of God. He wants every one of us to live in utter and complete dependence, reliance, and obedience to him. That's what he wants. And you're only ever going to do that if you love him with all of your heart. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. He who keeps my commands is the one who loves me. Oh, we can sing the best songs. Oh, we can have a tear when we sing it. And I shouldn't mock that too much because I cry, you know that. But what about obedience? The real test of love is, are you obedient? Nothing wrong with tears, but if that's all it is and there's no obedience, well, it's very false. And I want the conviction of the Holy Spirit to deal with that. So they failed. 40 years in the wilderness, they wandered. And then until that whole generation died out, that's what he said would happen. You'll die in the wilderness and never fulfill my calling and my promise on your life. And why is that? Because flesh will never fulfill what God's commanded. It can't. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but what it's by his Spirit. And God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And so the next generation, this young generation, they don't know anything. Sometimes that's a good thing. You're more dependent when you're even reading the Bible. Even knowledge of the Bible can be a block if your heart's not right, because you think you know something. Oh, Lord, we've done this, we've done that. We know this, we know that. He says, I never knew you. 30 and verse 11. For this is the commandment which I command you today. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? You hear that in Daniel? In the last days, knowledge will increase. Many will run to and fro. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. I'll leave it there. Jesus Christ in the Bible is our salvation. He is the one who fulfilled completely every command of God, and he did it for us. He did it for us. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it's the complete abandonment and surrender of all of yourself. And it doesn't matter whether it's a wrecked self, whether you think it's a perfect self. Self has got to be completely surrendered to Jesus. Because it's by one man's obedience, the Bible says in Romans 5, that many will be made what? Righteous. Oh, it's by him. So surrendering all yourself. I want you to look there at the cross. Now, just as we're closing, you know, we can get very sentimental about the cross. He died for me. And get very emotional about that. But he also rose for you and for me. When are we going to stop camping at the cross? We've got to go, and I want to command you today, take up your cross, follow Jesus, walk in resurrection life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Rise up and walk. Obey him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, because he is your life. Cling to him. He is everything. And if you're dealing with double-mindedness, if you're wallowing, as you know, the Pilgrim's Progress, in that slough of despond, if you're trapped in Doubting Castle and there's a giant over you, if you're trapped in all those areas of the flesh, I want to command you right now that you will never get free of it by yourself. It is at the cross that every single one was dealt with. It's when we go to the cross and lay those burdens down. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and I will give you rest. Because when you come to the cross, surrender yourself, that freedom comes. My sheep, he said, hear my voice. Now, it was John G. Lake that said, Jesus Christ is at once, let me remember, is at once the spotless descent of God into man and the sinless ascent of man into God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why didn't Israel enter into the promised land? That's what's through the cross, the promises of God. All the promises of God in Christ are what? Yes and amen. Obey him in all that he says. Now, if you're struggling with something today, and I'm going to close now, and if you need to go, please do. But if you can stay and pray for any that would want to do business right now, please do. But we'll join you afterwards. What I want to say, if you've got a burden right now, if you are weary right now, if you are struggling, if you're maybe of two minds, you know, God, we keep praying, God, help me to do this, help me to do that. He said, you could never do it. You could never do it. Why don't you just agree with the word of God, you could never do it. The issue is not your trying harder. The issue is your surrender, your complete yielding over. Romans 6, 7, I don't remember where it is, 6 I think it is, says, he says this, don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves, your body, servants to obey, you are that one's servants whom you obey. You know, we say, oh, I love Jesus, I want to do, well, you can want and want and want all you like, when are you going to obey? To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, you are that one's servants whom you obey. If it's sin, you're going to be the slave of sin. This is Christians. You're going to be the slave of sin if you obey it, if you yield yourself to it. How do you get free? Not by juggling. That just brings pressure, heaviness, burden, failure, misery, the whole lot. But by surrendering, by yielding it to Jesus Christ. He who the Son sets free, not you, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can we all stand up right now? The cross is there. If you have burden, he dealt with all of our sickness, burdens, yokes, imprisonment, bondages. He dealt with it all. I believe that. Are we believers? Do we believe that? He dealt with it all. I want you to go, if that's you, stand at that cross and make the exchange that you need to make. By faith, by obedience, you say, first of all, it's all of me. It's not doing deals or bargains or business or haggling with God, trying to get a better deal for ourselves to mix two lives, keep in control on one side and keep God happy on the other. No, it's all of you. That's the challenge in our generation, because this generation needs to see the glory of God. And he has chosen you and he's chosen me in this time to manifest his glory. I'm believing it. So I want you, your burden, you go to the cross and leave them there. Leave them there. And then go on from the cross, take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, because he is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. Lay every burden down and then follow him. Father, we thank you. Our Father in heaven. Father, when we were helpless, when we were without strength, in fact, we were your enemies. Lord, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for every single one of us. You made no distinction. You love all. God, thank you for what you have done. Thank you that as we look to Jesus and his obedience, all we can say is, Lord, my life is not my own anymore. I have been bought with a price. I have been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And Lord, thank you that this is the day that you have made. And today we hear your voice. I pray, I rebuke every deafness. I rebuke every spirit of slumber. And I say, awake in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk in his might, in his power, in his word, in his spirit. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise, and our eyes are fixed upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, thank you that you lead and guide us day by day, so that every morning we wake up, we acknowledge that your mercies are new, that you've forgiven all of our iniquities, you've healed all of our diseases, you have redeemed our lives from destruction, and you've crowned us with loving kindness. And Lord, thank you as we open wide our mouth. Lord, you're satisfying our mouth with good things, and our youth is being renewed like the eagle. Lord, we're a new creation in you. We bless you, Lord, and give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.